and how juicy my tale would be the moment the smell of controversy arose. Right now, I was considered top news. Penn's background would be dug up. Mine would be plastered beside his. Greg's actions would be known nationwide. Oh, God. Dad is going to flip. The pandemonium of journalists brought everything home. How deadly serious all of this had become. How far we still had to go before it would be all over. Exhaustion pressed me into the soft leather seats as David honked the horn and took off, barely giving the reporters time to jump out of the way.
Chapter 24. Penn. Dinner was yet another sad affair of undercooked potatoes and overcooked beef. At least this time, no one tried to talk to me. I'd earned a reputation over the past couple of weeks that I was a loner with history. I had respect because some old-timers remembered me from my previous stints, but I had a mystery that newbies wanted to ruffle up and put me in my place. I'd avoid all confrontation as long as I could, but eventually something would snap and I'd be in the middle of a war I didn't want. Yard time after Al and Larry left ensured I could run off some of the stress of seeing them. I'd fucking promised myself I'd deny visitation if they came, but that was before the temptation and overwhelming desire to see Al overrode my common sense. I'd braced myself for pity, or loathing in her gaze, looking at me in my prison uniform. I waited for hesitation about her feelings for me, or the awful condemning admittance that she couldn't handle this. But she hadn't done either of those things. She'd watched me as she always did, as if she wanted me to jump on top of her and fuck her in terribly dirty ways. She listened to me as if I meant something. She spoke as if this was personal, and she'd have my back all the way. She touched me as if she cared for me despite everything I'd done. It didn't escape me the way Larry looked at her. He was proud of her. Shit, I was proud of her. It made me wade through guilt that I could ever think she was a spoiled brat. Sure, I knew how hard she worked now. I understood that Belle L wasn't given to her or that she coasted through life on a trust fund. She worked her fingers to the bone. And she was strong. So fucking strong. Why did I ever doubt she would fight for me if I'd given her the chance? I'd had everything so wrong. Assumptions had sure made an ass out of me, and look how fucked I was. If I'd just knocked on her door that night, we might have avoided this whole disaster. Greg would never have thought he stood a chance with her because I would have claimed her. I would have ensured she was mine, just like the necklace I'd given back to Stewie was hers. I was a moron back then, but I wouldn't be a moron now. She wanted me? She had me, because Christ, I wanted her. Tonight was TV night for the guys in my block. A lot mingled, not really listening, playing cards or placing bets on events they'd never be able to pay, regardless of winning or losing. Unless it was with things gained from inside. Rubbing my face, I forced my body to let go of the lust Elle had created, unsuccessfully reminding myself that Elle and I wouldn't be fucking for a long time to come. Celibacy was the new rule in our relationship, which made it so goddamn hard as I wanted her so bad. I needed her even worse. I needed her to lie to me for a change and tell me this would all go away and I'd be free again. I needed her to touch me and tell me she'd wait for me no matter how long it took, even while I pushed her away so she didn't waste her life alone. I scoffed at the thoughts, hearing the truth behind them. She didn't need to touch me to assure me she'd wait for me. I saw her loyalty in every blink and heard it in every vowel. And she didn't need to lie about my freedom. I would get it back, eventually. Larry was fighting for me. He'd win. He has to. There was no other scenario I could accept. Stretching out my legs with ankles crossed, I did my best to unwind and watch the men around me, taking note of their weakness and strategies, cataloging who to chat with versus those to stay away from. I had to be smart and play a long game, even if I hoped I'd only endure a short inning. The sound of a car horn wrenched my head to the TV, where local news was playing. My chair legs screeched on the linoleum as I sat up and scooted forward. Elle filled the screen. A blurred photo of her climbing into the Range Rover with David and Larry doing their best to obscure her. They couldn't hide the tangle of pretty blonde hair or her sexy body, though. I'd recognize her anywhere. The news anchor in her bright red suit droned.
Today, a name that is normally reserved for retail news has been dragged into controversy with the recent love triangle. According to sources, Noel Charleston, who is the head of the family's empire Bel-El retail chain, has been dealing with a few unusual matters of late. Things haven't been smooth sailing for the young CEO ever since rumors began of her engagement to Penn Everett. After a string of unsuccessful romantic setups over the past few years, Miss Charleston has somehow wound up dating two men, both who have ended up in jail for reasons not entirely known. What we do know is Greg Hopeson, the son of Steve Hopeson, who has worked for the Charleston family for four decades, is being held for kidnapping and attempted rape, while Penn Everett, a well-known offender who struck it big with a penny stock a year ago, is being held for aggravated assault, including attempted murder. We tried to get more facts from Miss Charleston as she was leaving the correctional facility, but she declined to comment.
A prisoner turned to face me, his eyes glowing with violence. Hey, you're Everett, aren't you? Shit. Another guy with tattoos all over his arms and a shaved head stood up, his posture screaming. Oh, it's on, buddy. He cocked his head. Seems we have a celebrity in our midst, boys. Christ, I didn't want to fight. I smirked condescendingly, slipping back into the armor I'd perfected from the streets. Nothing to get excited about. Typical news junkies don't know what they're saying. The tatted inmate chuckled. Oh, yeah? Guess we'll just have to find out for ourselves, won't we? He cracked his knuckles. Be prepared to spill, Everett. We'll plan a nice chat, you and me. God damn it. I'd done my best to avoid this, but the games had begun, all thanks to the fucking news. A prisoner, who wasn't aware of the showdown about to start, bellowed at one of the guards. Turn off the news, man. Who fucking cares about that shit? No one cares. Apart from me. Never taking my eyes off the two men squaring me up, I stood and left the room. They'd let me go. They'd have no choice. But tomorrow, they'd ambush. I had to be ready. I had to attack them before they attacked me. I had tonight to prepare. After that, it's war.
Chapter 25. L.
You can't get mixed up in this, L.
I looked up as my dad appeared in my office, his fingers wrapped around the daily newspaper. He still wore his three-piece suits as fashion statements. This one of choice today demanded obedience in sharp midnight blue. His cheeks glowed warm, his eyes bright but disapproving. He'd lost the stress of my disappearance and bounced back healthier than ever. I no longer leapt to my feet to hold his elbow in fear of his heart playing tricks. He was robust and old-fashioned, and my hackles rose as he marched to my desk, then perched on the side as he always did, looking down at me in my chair. I'd expected this. Ever since I turned the news on last night and seen myself being shuttled like a convict to the awaiting Range Rover, I'd waited for my father to railroad me, to be told I couldn't be seen in such unflattering situations, that all news was bad news, and it was up to me to keep controversy as far away from Bel-El's shop shelves as possible.
This will slander Bel-El's name,
Dad said. Didn't he see it would slander me for the rest of my life if I did nothing? Bel-El was decades old. It was more than just a company. It was a lifestyle, a part of so many people's lives. Our quality merchandise was in every adult's and child's wardrobe across the states and Canada. Bel-El didn't need me. Penn does. Meeting his eyes with confidence, I didn't necessarily feel, I said. Hello to you, too. Please, I'm not busy or anything.
The passive-aggressive comments won't fly with me, Al.
He scowled, his elderly face becoming even more wrinkled than normal.
We need to talk about this.
He waved the rolled-up newspaper, no doubt filled with more tabloids and finger-pointing. There's nothing to talk about. Penn is mine and I'll stand by him. I don't care what you say. I cleared my throat with impatience as Fleur came in. She paused on the threshold, her arms full of paperwork that I'd neglected. Ah, just in time. I stood waving her over eagerly. I would use anything I could to postpone the inevitable fight with my father. I didn't want to have to yell at him. I didn't want to be disrespectful. But I knew what he was about to say, and I wouldn't let him stop me anymore. You sure it's a good time? Fleur rocked back on her heels, making her escape, knowing as well as I did what sort of argument was about to explode. No, don't be silly. I patted my desk. Just put those here. Okay. Fleur clipped forward, smiling politely at Dad, not giving me the usual broad grin of friendship. Hello, Mr. Charleston. Placing the folders on my desk, she gave me a quick arched eyebrow. That eyebrow said, Are you okay? Want me to do anything? Should I get the tranquilizer gun? Her voice said, Anything else? I had no doubt she would do something crazy if I asked, but this conversation was all on me. I shook my head. Thank you. That's all. It's getting late. You should head home. Only if you're sure. I'm sure.
Thanks for your help.
Dad smiled kindly at her.
You've been a very loyal staff member to Bell-El and my daughter.
Fleur wasn't the blushing sort, but her cheeks pinked. You're welcome. Turning for the door, she glanced back before disappearing into the hallway. Her interruption had been too short, but to Dad it had been too long. His eyes glowed with irritation.
El, what the hell were you doing at the prison yesterday?
And so it begins. I held my head high. I went to see Penn. Or did you forget we're engaged? It seemed like years ago since Penn had pulled that particular lie over my father and everyone at the office, but for the first time, I found it convenient rather than a nuisance. He scrubbed his face.
Are you sure about that? I've been having doubts about you two. It happened too fast, Al. After what just occurred with Greg and now court dates and testimonies, I don't want you getting stressed out.
Me? My voice rose with a perfectly curled question mark. Me get stressed? What about you? Are you taking the meds your doctor prescribed? I don't think you should even be at the office. I have things under control. All right, that lie was obvious and entirely hollow. I wasn't coping. I didn't have things under control, mainly because I couldn't stop my mind from drifting to Penn and Nameless and Penn and prison. Penn, Penn, Penn. It was a vicious circle and not one I could stop.
Don't you worry about me.
He took my hand, pulling me forward to pat it dotingly.
You were kidnapped by a man who's been part of our family for years. You won't tell me what happened in the cabin. All you'll say on the matter is that Penn saved you, but then Greg filed charges.
He scowled.
There's more to that story, Al, and I don't like you keeping things from me. Why did you go see Greg in the hospital if he hurt you?
I sighed heavily. I'm not keeping things from you, but I am going to keep fighting for Penn. He didn't do anything wrong.
Yes, about that.
His face fell even further, resembling an unhappy hound.
You can't be seen visiting inmates, Al. You have a reputation to maintain. A company as a whole has to do what it can to stay on the right side of the law with no controversy.
I laughed a little. Don't you think Greg already caused controversy? No matter how we keep that under wraps, details will get elaborated and the story will snowball on its own. The best way to deal with the media is to grant an interview, asking for understanding and give them the hard truth, so false rumors don't destroy everything we've created. Dad blanched.
You can't be serious. The right thing to do is stay away from those vultures and just let it die a natural death.
He paused before saying with fatherly authority.
Just like I don't want you seeing Penn again.
I gasped. How can you say that? You liked him. You gave him your blessing to marry me, even when I was telling you it was fake.
So your engagement is fake?
His features lit up.
Well, in that case, I believe you now. That means you don't have to do anything reckless when it comes to...
Dad, I shook my head with disappointment. You don't get it. It started off fake, but it turns out he's... the man from Central Park. The words dangled on my tongue, clinging with little claws to stay unsaid. I swayed between delivering them and swallowing them back. For 3 years, Dad did everything he could to stop me from looking for Nameless, after he'd been cooperative at the start. When my hunt for him started to interfere with my work, Dad swiftly put a stop to it. This time, I wouldn't give him any more reasons to block my helping pen. Dad had an obsessive desire to keep Bell-L and me away from less than satisfactory circumstances, including people. Only he didn't understand that no one was perfect. He wasn't, I wasn't, the world wasn't. Pen was no different, and he deserved every chance to prove he was more than just a liar and reveal the truth. He's special. To me, to my life, to my future. I wouldn't jeopardize that for anyone, including my father.
He's what?
He cocked an eyebrow.
Finish that sentence.
He's on his own, Dad. Sure, he has Larry fighting for him, but I want to be there, too. I'm sorry if it upsets you, but I'm not going to stop. He slid off my desk, crossing his arms.
It's not that I don't want you to be there for him, Elle. I'm not trying to be cruel by cutting him off from emotional support, but sometimes other things take paramount. I'm thinking of the company. It's not good PR.
Well, we'll hire a team to reinvent our image after it's over.
Over?
I nodded. Yes, Penn will be given a court date soon, and we can finally get the truth out. Then he'll be released and it will be over.
How long do you think that will take?
I shrugged. It depends on the justice system. I sounded so much more knowledgeable than I was. The way he gnawed his bottom lip gave me an idea. You know, you can help speed this process along, if you wanted.
I can? How?
He narrowed his eyes warily. By calling your judge friend. Put in a good word. Get a court date. Sooner rather than later, so we can all move on with our lives.
You want me to tamper with courts and trials now, Elle?
He looked at the ceiling.
What's become of you?
The need to fix everything I did wrong. His look was quizzical, but he didn't ask for a structured explanation of my cryptic reply. Instead, he kissed the top of my head.
Oh, very well. If it means this will all blow over faster, I'll see what I can do.
Chapter 26. Penn. The ambush happened 4 days later in the recreational yard. Three men stopped me mid-jog. After doing my best to come up with a counterattack, I gave up. I had no weapons, no friends to back me up. I was on my own, and unless I wanted to die in retaliation, I had to let it happen. So I did, no matter how much it fucked me off. Their fists gave me an unwanted, welcome to the neighborhood, rough-up. Their feet delivered a well-heard, this is our turf, so don't get any fucking ideas, kick. Their growls told me exactly how to toe the line and behave. They seemed to know where a dead zone existed in the security cameras on the jogging track. They didn't hesitate to gift a beating that activated old injuries, memories, and wounds from my past. The punch-up only lasted a few seconds, but they knew how to deliver pain, and I knew how to listen to their message. I let them get in a few good strikes, then exploded and delivered a few myself. I let them put me in my place because it meant I wouldn't be harassed further, but I wouldn't be a fucking pussy because that was just the start of a worse war. The tightrope to walk was so damn narrow, but I'd walked it before. I could walk it now. They were the shit in here, not me. They thought they'd disciplined me. They hadn't. Everyone went away slightly happier and settled. Even if I limped rather than stalked, and their punches activated old injuries from Greg's morning wake-up call the day he took L, I gave up running for the rest of the afternoon and sat on the bleachers tending to a busted lip and bloody nose. No one commented on my state, and I nodded curtly at the assholes who'd given me the lesson when they walked back to their cells after the bell rang. Just like school had bullies, prison had thugs. It was all a chessboard in the end. No one was king for long, and no one stayed a rook forever. We were all jumping over each other to try to win the queen. Trudging back to my cell, I spat out a glob of blood. I'd never been soft or naive in my life. I couldn't, after seeing death and never having a home. But the awful fact was, I had begun to relax a little. I'd relaxed knowing Larry had my back, and L was mine after so many mistakes. I'd relished in playing games with her because it soothed some of the pain. I'd become the bully, and with my belly bruised and face forming a nice black eye, I was reminded how much it fucking sucked to be the victim. Yet, here I was, held in remand with no way out on an attempted murder charge, buried up to my balls in shit. At least, now I was in jail. Arnold wouldn't be able to fuck up my life as bad. Unless he was in the habit of bribing the warden or commissioner of corrections, I was out of his control. For now, I needed to see Larry and L. Fuck, I needed to see L. Another 2 weeks. 14 measly days on top of all the rest. A fucking lifetime. I lived in sameness every day, tormenting myself with thoughts of a happier memory, spending whatever freedom I was given between working, eating, and yard work in the library. The books hadn't changed. The reading material was no better, but at least the notepad and pen gave me an outlet to scribble my thoughts and see if there was any way around my mess. I kept those notes with me safe, posting pages to Larry on mail days so he could have some idea of what I knew and suspected between our meetings. Today was Wednesday, which meant the only thing to look forward to were spaghetti and meatballs for dinner, and our turn in the media room for the allotted 90 minutes. My life is fucking riveting. As I made my bed, preparing for a new day in this walled city, a guard appeared. He had to be just out of his teens, filled with the need to be the best and most liked officer on staff. It made me hate him immediately.
Everett, visitor.
I dropped my pillow onto the bed.
You sure?
The guard rolled his eyes as if I was a simpleton.
Of course I'm sure.
I had no response to that cocky attitude. I didn't feel like getting into a fight with a newbie. I had been told that other personal visits would be strictly monitored and most likely denied because of the upcoming trial. Turned out, Larry got around it. Then again, what trial? I had no correspondence on when my case would be heard. If it was anything like last time, I'd end up serving more time waiting for the trial than I did after being convicted. The fact that the time served was subtracted from my sentence wasn't a relief. It was hollow, especially if you'd served 6 months and the offense only deserved a 3-month term. This entire process was screwed the fuck up. Innocent until proven guilty, my ass. Fine. I dragged my fingers through my hair. Let's go then. Following the officer through the usual riff-raff of prisoners, I kept my eyes forward, not lingering on anyone in particular. My prison-issued sneakers squeaked on the linoleum as the guard swiped his ID and ushered me through to the small processing room, then through another security point to the visitation areas. I swayed to the left, following the hallway I knew led to the meeting hall where I'd last seen Al and Larry.
Not that way.
The guard rubbed his nose, his dark hair dull and needing a haircut.
This one.
He pointed at the right hallway. I probably shouldn't, but I asked.
Private?
He nodded. My heart did a strange skip cough. Private meant Larry had come to talk, away from prying ears. Private meant L wouldn't be with him, because only client-attorney relationships were deemed sacred enough to have privacy. Conjugal visits in this place were like fucking gold nuggets, rare and hard to earn. There was no way to hug your lover or even touch to reassure both of you that this fucked up place couldn't tear you apart forever. God damn it, I hate it here. Swallowing back my frustrated anger, I followed silently. Passing a few meeting rooms with matching metal doors, bars on viewing windows, and large locks, we stopped outside private room number 6. The officer rapped on the door with his knuckles, giving me a quick glance. I linked my fingers together in front of me, remaining the perfect prisoner, when all I wanted to do was handcuff the fresh-out-of-the-academy idiot and teach him what it was like to have your freedom stolen. Larry opened the door, beaming.
Ah, great. Thanks for bringing my client.
The officer nodded.
Welcome. You have 30 minutes. Press the button if you require assistance before that. For your safety, we'll record visual, but not audio.
Larry nodded, ever the professional.
Great. See you in 30.
Pulling my arm, he tugged me into the room and closed the door in the guard's face. We couldn't lock it from the inside, but the illusion of having a door between them and us... Fuck. It was the best goddamn thing in weeks.
Hey!
Larry slapped me on the back.
How are you holding up?
I shrugged. Can't complain. I could fucking complain, but Larry was already doing so much for me. I wouldn't turn him into my agony aunt, too.
I'm glad.
Pointing behind me, he added,
By the way, I brought you a gift.
Better be a burger and fries. I smirked, turning on the spot. Something light and sexy and so fucking addicting leapt into my arms.
Pen?
Instantly, my embrace wrapped around her. Squeezing so tight, I had to remind myself not to kill the girl I wanted more than anything. I forgot about Larry. I forgot about cameras and guards and court dates. My body took over. I did the only thing I could. Her face tipped up, mine down. I groaned long and low as our lips connected, and she deepened the kiss the moment we met. I switched from expecting a friendly but purely platonic meeting with my benefactor to slamming Elle against the wall and kissing her until I couldn't goddamn breathe. My hands no longer obeyed my brain. They tracked over her, my thumbs rubbing the beads of her nipples, barely hidden beneath whatever clothes she wore. I was so drunk on her, I couldn't look away to see if she wore a convenient skirt to hoist up and delete the remaining space between us. Larry cleared his throat. It didn't register or stop me in the slightest. But it did stop Elle. She withdrew from the kiss, pushing my chest a little to give her some space. I blinked, coming back to earth with a smash. Fuck, what was I thinking? Touching wasn't permitted. I didn't want to layer yet more crimes to my long tally. I'll never fucking get out of here. And that was suddenly so important, now I'd had a tiny taste of what I was missing. Holding up my hands, I backed away from Elle, looking at the ceiling where a camera had recorded every passionate indiscretion. Shit. My cock throbbed, heavy and noticeable in my prison scrubs. Elle rubbed her mouth, her lips puffy and red from my overgrown stubble. Had it really been over a month since I'd kissed her? Fucked her in my limo? It felt like decades. She smiled.
That was quite the hello.
I smirked. You started it. You launched at me, not the other way around. And Christ, that made me happy. To know she'd moved past the issues I'd caused, the lies I'd told. That she was willing to accept me as me. Not as Penn or that phantom she called nameless. Me, with no more bullshit between us. I opened my arms, encompassing the room and jail behind. You're here.
I am.
Her gaze skated to Larry, then back to me. Her fingers pulled the hem of her black blazer, smoothing it over the hip-hugging skirt that kissed her knees. Black suit, white shirt, and silver heels. Her hair was twisted up on top of her head, showing off the expanse of her long neck where my canines watered to bite. A pair of black framed glasses stuck out of her blazer breast pocket. She looked like a sexy librarian, or...
Elle is my assistant for the day,
Larry explained as he pulled out a chair and sat at the single table.
It was the only way she was allowed in.
My lips tilted, remembering other times when I'd been his assistant. He'd gotten me into Fishkill countless of times to see Geo, partly to be his helper and note-taker, but also to nurture the slowly developing friendship between the man I'd fought with on the streets and the man now begging for scraps of news about his brother. We put aside our petty grievances and discussed Stewie's progress and intelligence at school. We bonded over caring for his younger sibling. We grew up. Leaving Elle, even though it killed me, I marched to the table and sat. My skin tingled to touch hers. My mouth watered to kiss her again. But I'd already risked Larry's generosity by slamming her into the wall the second they arrived. I twisted to look at the camera again. They'll have that on tape. I licked my lips, tasting blueberry lip gloss. I shouldn't have done that. Larry opened a folder holding the scribbled notes I'd sent him, along with a few computer-typed ones from his own homework.
It'll be on record. There's no way for someone to alter the footage. Not the lowly guy I have an understanding with, anyway. But rest assured, they won't use it.
He pulled his pen from his pocket, chuckling.
However, don't go thinking you can get away with sex. I'm not leaving, and I can't go without my lovely assistant. Besides, screwing my staff would most likely end up on some doggy prison porn site that would go viral and screw you over even more.
Dropping my hands below the table, I did some subtle rearranging of my hard-on. I know, you have a point, but being in this room with Al... Shit, you're asking a starving man not to eat the banquet. Elle blushed, pulling out the last seat next to Larry. Her hands snuck across the table. I snatched it, holding it sweetly, as if we were first-time boyfriend and girlfriend, rather than the reality that if I didn't hold on, I'd drown in this motherfucking place. It took a lot to keep my cool and pretend nothing bothered me here, that I could handle whatever they threw at me, that I didn't give a shit about Arnold Twigg and his lying sack-of-shit son, Sean. But with Elle here, it made me softer somehow, showed me how much I bottled up and how much I wished I could just run and be free. Elle's gaze narrowed on my lower jaw, where the fading bruise of the beating 2 weeks ago remained.
You're hurt.
I shrugged, downplaying it as Larry narrowed his gaze. He knew full well what went on in places like this. Elle had no idea. I squeezed her fingers. I'm fine. Her blue eyes glossed with tears.
But someone hurt you.
I'm okay, Elle. Don't torture yourself. My voice echoed with need for her to listen to me. Obey me. She'd go mad if she didn't. It's nothing I can't handle. And it was true. Ever since the beating, I hadn't been touched. Sure, I'd endured a few curse words and stolen lunches, but overall, my strategy of staying low and alone was working. Half of the inmates couldn't be asked with me, and the rest were slightly afraid, wondering why I was so quiet.
Why did they hit you?
Her gaze danced over my face, latching onto a healing scratch on my neck.
Can we do something?
My heart raced in fear of her making things worse. Don't do a thing. It's my fight, not yours. Larry backed me up.
He's fine, Elle. Leave him be.
She sniffled, anger replacing her sadness.
I hate all of this.
Me too. My joints splintered to drag her over the table and into my lap, to kiss her and delete the awful, cluttered space between us. Larry caught my wistful expression, and I wished he hadn't.
It's going to be okay, Pen.
He patted my arm, smiling at mine and Elle's joined hands.
You're doing great.
Once upon a time, I hadn't trusted him when he'd said the exact same thing. I'd laughed in his face. This time, I merely accepted his assurance with a grateful nod. Elle brought my hand to her lips, kissing me quick.
I positively hate seeing you in here.
Her passion and affection electrocuted my heart. She gave me the power to keep fighting. Returning the favor, I ran my lips over her knuckles. Same. Prison doesn't suit you. She shuddered, sucking in a breath similar to what she did when I first entered her. My body hardened, my voice softened, my promise beckoned to be believed. Don't worry, I'll be out soon. And when I am, I'm never letting you go again.
Chapter 27. L. The locusts found me the moment I stepped out of jail. Miss Charleston, can you confirm you're engaged to Penn Everett? Do you know he served time for 3 other incidents? Larry gathered me in a hug as we walked swiftly to David and the Range Rover. David once again barreled through the journalists, his large mass shoving people out of the way with no apology. Once in front of us, he cleaved the crowd like a giant snowplow, giving us a clear path. He couldn't stop the photos or recording devices from being shoved in my face, but he could at least get me to the vehicle a lot faster than before. Penn's words echoed in my head.
I'll be out soon.
Would he? The more time I spent with Larry, the more I understood his mannerisms. Just like Penn favored shoving his hands in his pockets, Larry favored scratching his jaw where salt-and-pepper stubble appeared at the end of a long day when he was either unsure or telling a white lie. I said white because I doubted he'd ever truly lie. But he definitely wasn't showing his own nervousness about Penn's particular case. He'd already been locked up for 4 weeks, 4 days. The fear that he could be held so long before a resolution or verdict was reached petrified me. It couldn't be much longer. I can't leave him there. I have to do something. If Greg wouldn't retract his statement and admit he lied under oath about the attempted murder, then I'd have to find other ways to free Penn. I slammed to a stop in the midst of our rush from the paparazzi. Larry glanced at me.
Are you okay? Did you trip?
David looked back, his eyes darting to my feet.
Do you need me to carry you, ma'am?
I scoffed. No, I do not need to be carried. Peering at the reporters, losing count after 7 of their eager faces and blinking cameras, I said, I wish to make a statement.
Of course, Miss Charleston, we would be honored.
A female shoved her mic close. Another said,
We offer great packages for exclusives, if you'd like to come with me to the office.
I ignored both, pushing Larry away to stand firm and on my own. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't feed the vultures when they circled over Carrion. But if I could start the campaign on Penn's innocence, perhaps it would help us get him home faster. David's shoulders tensed, but he didn't try to grab me or interrupt what I was about to do. Thank God, because the picture of a silly little CEO being bundled up by her security guard and driven away was not the look I wanted to portray. Dad will kill me, but I was past caring. Inhaling hard, I said, Penn Everett is innocent. Questions landed around me like slingshot pebbles. I tuned them out, focusing on the short statement I wanted to make on his behalf. Penn is innocent, and we will prove that.
What do you mean by that, Miss Charleston?
Another reporter asked. I held my head higher. I mean that Mr. Everett has been incarcerated unjustly, and when he's freed, I won't stop from persecuting those who stole weeks of his life with lies. The irony that lies had come back to bite the liar wasn't lost on me. Penn wasn't innocent on that account, but I'd claimed him, and I wasn't an enemy people wanted. I had funds, I had power, I had a grudge. I'll make those people pay. Smiling at the flashing cameras, I hoped my stand had finally shown New York, and my father, that I wouldn't run away from this. I strode confidently to the getaway vehicle and climbed inside. Let's go home, David. I have work to do.
Chapter 28. Penn. Another 3 weeks passed, like soldiers marching me closer to battle. 2 months in this shitty place. 2 months of slop for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. 2 months of bad sleep, aching misery, and unbearable loneliness. 2 months that Al and Larry went above and beyond for me. twice a week, which was my total allotted amount, regardless if I argued or begged for more, she and Larry would call. His conversations were upbeat and positive. Her chats were sex-loaded and frustrated. Talking to Elle made my cock ache and heart squeeze with need. We never stepped over that line of turning a call into a pleasure fest, but it was hard. So fucking hard. Especially when her innocent questions like, if I was comfy in bed at night, were answered by my libido admitting how hard and uncomfortable it was. Just like every inch of me dying to sink inside her. When visitations were permitted, she and Larry came as a pair. A new duo with a bond building by the day. They were no longer acquaintances, brought together because of mutual affection for me. They were friends fighting the same battle. Elle came with gifts, such as freshly baked lemon squares from her kitchen. Prisoners weren't allowed to take such presents back to our cells, but we were allowed to eat as much as we could while in the common room, listening to tales of the outside world. The world I should be a part of, but had been stolen from me. Would I have gone after her if I'd known this would happen? Would I have beaten Greg up or merely waited until David arrived to do the dirty work? I like to think my answers would switch on those questions, but they never did. I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't have waited for her father or bodyguard to do my job as her lover and protector. I wouldn't have been able to keep my hands to myself knowing Greg had touched her. He got what he deserved. And who knew? Maybe I got what I deserved too. I've been an asshole to her. I lied and manipulated and cheated her feelings for me 3 years ago with the feelings she had for me now. If this was my karma, I'd learned my fucking lesson. I just wanted to go home with her and never let her out of my sight again. I would never tell her, but her visits kept me breathing. Yet they also stole my courage to keep going. She was so vibrant, so passionate in her fight to free me, so full of trust, when before she'd been so riddled with doubt. 2 weeks ago, she broke the rules and hugged me in the common hall, just because she couldn't be close and not touch. She risked a visitation ban when she kissed me last week to catcalls of other inmates, promising me that we would find a way to get me free while being so goddamn sexy. I struggled not to come just from inhaling her perfume. She gave me life. She took my life. I hated that she was out there working so fucking hard on my behalf when all I could do was sit on my ass and count the seconds as they evolved into minutes. She didn't notice my slowly dwindling enthusiasm or my wavering belief that I'd be acquitted soon. I smiled, I teased, I lusted. But behind that, I slowly became lost. I reverted to the homeless kid who had nothing but a pillow and a blanket surrounded by thieves. I struggled to maintain my humanity when all I wanted to do was kill the motherfucker who put me here. Arnold Twigg shared my mind almost as much as Elle did. My hate festered, making me snap at those I cared about, when really I should grovel on my knees for all they'd done. Larry kept pushing for a trial date and kept being told everything was going as fast as it could. No matter who he called or threatened, nothing progressed. And through it all, I slowly shut down. I packed away my need for Elle, my love for Stewie, my friendship with Gio, and my gratitude to Larry. Piece by piece, I systematically placed each person I cared about into boxes and sealed them tight. I placed them in the basement below my heart and locked the door, because part of me believed the worst. I was in here now, and no matter what we tried, I wasn't getting out.
Chapter 29. Elle. Something's wrong, Larry. I can feel it. I pressed my cell phone hard against my ear as I paced my office. Sage trotted after me with every beeline from my desk to the door, the same door where Penn had made me drop to my knees for him. where he made me come just by pressing against me. Where he'd come the first time and showed me there wouldn't be any bullshit between us when it came to how much we wanted each other. Those first weeks of our relationship seemed shallow now, all based on sex and no emotion. I'd allowed him to entrap me in orgasms and pleasure, keeping his truth hidden because I didn't have the courage to poke behind his lies. But that was all over now. Now I only needed to look at Penn to know how he was feeling. His dark coffee eyes were so expressive. I doubted how I ever listened to his fibs in the first place. The way he held his stress like a boulder across his shoulders. How his jaw never fully relaxed. How his nostrils flared when he answered questions he didn't like. How his voice pitched into gravel whenever he told me how much he missed me. His face was an encyclopedia into his heart. It had dictionary references and thesaurus connotations, revealing what an arched eyebrow meant compared to a tongue flicking over his bottom lip. He'd never come out and said it, but I knew he loved me. I knew it in the way he whispered his thumb over my pinky when the guards weren't looking. I trusted it in the way he looked into my eyes, so deep, so pure. Whatever words he'd spoken were irrelevant, because ultimately, all he'd been saying was, "I love you." His face could even square eloquently. A tip of his chin or a scowl of his forehead was the perfect fuck you to the guards who broke us apart. All this I knew now. There was nothing shallow about falling head over heels for a man incarcerated, where privacy was an ungiven luxury, and physical intimacy was denied at all times. Penn loved me. I loved him. And that was why I knew something was terribly, terribly wrong. Larry yawned, causing me to look at my watch.
"What's up, Elle? What's wrong?"
It was almost midnight, and I still hadn't left the office. I couldn't. I was too wired, researching bits and pieces Larry had tasked me with, putting together a well-thought-out and correctly edited document to read in court if and when Penn was given a date. I quit my pacing, forcing my heart rate to return to sane rather than crazy. "Penn isn't doing so well." That was an understatement. How could I expect him to be happy and thrive in a place where violence and misdemeanors were the only forms of conversation and habit? He pretended otherwise, but each time I saw him, he seemed a little more empty. As if he'd stuffed every feeling he'd had, every love and goodness, and buried it so deep. He was vacant inside.
"You noticed too, huh?"
Larry cleared his throat, giving me his full attention.
"He's losing hope."
"But he can't lose hope. He has to stay strong." Tears sprang to my eyes. My emotions these days were haywire, completely uncontrollable. Most likely from lack of sleep, too many things to juggle, the stress of Dad's frustration and Penn's distancing, and my own belief that I should be able to fix this, and I couldn't. I tried calling the penitentiary where Greg was being held to ask again if he would revoke his statement, but he'd refused to take my calls. I requested visitation. He denied my name on his list of approved visitors. He blocked me from finding any relief or answers to his "will he or won't he" try to bury Penn alive.
"He's strong. He's been strong on his own for a long time before we came along, Al. Don't take it to heart. He's only doing what's natural."
"Natural? Shutting down is natural?"
"It is to him."
Larry sighed.
"Think about it from his point of view. For years, he had only himself to rely on. He was hungry? He had to go steal or beg. He was cold? He had to find shelter or come up with a blanket. He was sick? He had to search for medicine or seek a place he could rest unmolested. He couldn't feel down and let another carry his troubles for a while. He couldn't hurt himself and expect someone else to feed and clothe him while he got better. It's a coping mechanism."
I understand how it would have been imperative to keep his emotions in check when he was homeless. But he has us now. We'll get him medicine, we'll find him food, we'll give him shelter.
"You don't get it, Al,"
Larry said softly.
"Even though he's placed his entire trust in our hands, his life and future, and he does believe we're doing everything we can, he can't help but expect to spend the rest of his life in there. Twig will try his hardest to make that come true. Greg will testify against him. His own past will throw away the key."
"But He can't shut us out. He can't shut me out. Not now.
He can, Elle. If that's what he needs to do to keep himself alive and stay above the severe depression that prisoners succumb to, he can do whatever it takes. We'll stand by, regardless if he's the confident, slightly egotistical man we've come to love, or a cold-hearted, standoffish son of a bitch. You can't give up on him.
I marched to my desk and threw myself on the chair. I'm not giving up on him. My eyes fell onto the screen currently open on my laptop. A web browser I'd brought up this afternoon on a stupid whim. I hadn't expected any results. Only... wait a minute. I pulled myself forward, clicking on the link. Information spewed forth, giving me a different kind of hope. If Penn was shutting down, he needed reminding of why he needed to stay very much alive. He needed to be touched, kissed, given the age-old cure of a hug. Guards wouldn't allow that. Visitation would only make it worse. But there was one way. A smile spread to my lips. A sexy, sultry, entirely seductive smile, already imagining how incredible it would be if I could make it happen. Larry, I have an idea.
I can't believe you talked me into arranging this.
Larry rolled his eyes, but beneath his overpuffed drama, excitement and relief glowed. He knew as well as I did something had to happen to get Penn back. We needed him with us to continue fighting, and hopefully, I could be the one to remind him of that.
Sign here.
The prison guard pushed a form toward me. The fine print and pages of disclaimers were enough to put anyone off from signing, but not me. I grabbed his crappy pen and scrawled my name. Honestly, I couldn't believe this had happened. I hadn't told Dad, Steve, or even Fleur. The only person who knew about my little quest into Knight's accommodation was Larry, and even discussing it with him had been nerve-wracking. It had taken 2 weeks. 2 very long weeks since Larry had given me the contact details of the person I needed to hound, and then together we didn't stop. Morning, afternoon, evening. Email, call, text, messenger, even tweet. Over and over, we hounded and hounded until finally, we got an email giving us access with a firm instruction never to contact them again. Never was a long time, especially if Penn's court date remained forever locked in the future, but I wouldn't worry about that now. We'd won. We were here. At 8 p.m. on a Wednesday, signing into the jail cell after visiting hours. According to the prison roster, all inmates would have eaten, enjoyed rec time, and now be in their respective cells ready for lights out. Bedtime was early in this place. Morning alarm was even earlier. Every man would be most likely stretched out on his cot, reading or passing the time in his imagination. But not Penn. Penn would be taken somewhere different. Somewhere he'd probably argue about and wonder why the hell he'd been separated and locked up in an unfamiliar place.
Do you have all the necessary belongings?
The guard looked at my plastic see-through Hermes that held a change of clothes, my toothbrush, and other nighttime-required accessories. The security processing had already x-rayed my things and cleared me. Yes, I'm all ready to go. My voice pitched slightly higher with nerves.
You'll collect her first thing tomorrow?
The guard looked at Larry. Larry gave my shoulder a squeeze as if I was about to go into a cage with a lion to tame it, instead of entering a cage with Penn to seduce him.
Yes, I will. 8 a.m. on the dot.
Knowing he knew what I'd be doing tonight made me blush, but the experience at having a night alone with Penn made me bounce on the spot. Thanks to my online research, I learned that only 4 states allowed conjugal visits, and one of those states was New York. I also learned that only medium and lesser security prisons permitted them and were entirely dependent on prisoner behavior. The lesser infractions the inmate had, the better chance of being granted one of 3 conjugal options, 6, 12, or 24 hours. I'd pushed for 24. I'd been granted 12. I wouldn't argue because technically, in some states, you had to be legally married, and I didn't want that nuisance to stop me. We were engaged. I had witnesses from the office stating as much. If it came down to that, I would no longer fight against it or call it fake. Technically, I wasn't even in a relationship with Penn. We never discussed exclusivity or rules. But just like I could tell he loved me, our hearts had decided that whatever this It was too deep to be labeled and too real to require laws to keep it alive. Taking the form back, the guard checked I'd initialed each page and signed. I suppose the waiver was so in-depth because of prior incidents. The same website said an inmate murdered his girlfriend and committed suicide during one such visit in 2010. The screening had tightened a lot since then.
All right, then, if you'll follow me, Miss Charleston.
The guard buzzed open a door, waiting for me to step through. Larry gave me a wave, a chuckle escaping.
Well, Elle, go give our boy one of the best nights of his life.
My cheeks burned, but I smiled. That's my plan. See you in the morning. As the door closed, absorbing me into the prison to have sex with my incarcerated fake fiancé, Larry blew me a kiss. For a moment, my heart fluttered like any exciting date. For a second, things were normal. And then the door clanged shut, and my 12 short hours began.
Chapter 30. Pen. When the bell rang to return to lockup, a guard came for me. All I earned was a barked command to grab my toothbrush and prison-issued pajamas and follow him. To be honest, it freaked me the fuck out. Why was I being picked on? Why had no one else been told to grab their shit and march to unknown territory? He didn't give me any other instruction, and I didn't make small talk as I followed him out of general and through security. I was patted down as if I had an arsenal made from soap bars and candy wrappers stuffed in my pants, then directed down a series of hallways to a more modern, renovated side of the prison. In here. The guard pointed at an open door. Inside was a king-sized bed with black linen, tables, lamps, a dark red rug, two towels rolled on a chair, and a plastic basket with lube and condoms. A door ajar hinted at a private bathroom, complete with shower. What the fuck is this place? Was I about to get ass-raped by some dude I'd somehow pissed off? Had the warden suddenly taken a liking to me? Shit. When I didn't move, the guard pointed with a scowl. Get in. What's going on? You'll see if you get in. He pointed again. Now, Everett. Not given a choice, I stepped into the love dungeon and spun around just as my roommate for the night appeared. A fucking angel with debauchery on her mind and sex in her smile. Elle.
Chapter 31. Elle. I'd survived 2.5 months without Penn in my day-to-day life. I'd slept alone. I'd worked alone. I'd plotted his freedom every second I was awake. Yet standing in that doorway, drinking him in while the guard reeled off the rules. Number one, no BDSM. Number two, no anal. Number three, no toys. Number four, no role-playing. Number five, no restraining. Number six, no airplay. The minutes multiplied into years. I wanted the officer gone. I'd never despised someone purely for talking before. Couldn't he see how unwanted he was? How Penn undressed me with his eyes and I made love to him with mine? God, I missed him. To be so close but then have to listen to this idiot pompously announce the rules, as if we were about to be introduced to the president, was too much. Penn locked in place, a mirror image of me. His hands curled into fists. The dark green of his uniform bunched with the power from his muscles. He looked ready to explode, like a track runner waiting for the starting gun. I trembled with the desire to kiss him. I melted with the need to have him kiss me. And still, the guard stood in our rapidly growing sexual tension, utterly oblivious.
At 7 a.m., you'll be given breakfast and an hour to shower. Then at 8, you'll be escorted back to your cell while your guest returns home.
The guard tapped his chin.
I think that's it. Oh, almost forgot.
Penn snapped.
God damn it!
With bared teeth, he grabbed me by the hand, jerked me inside, and slammed the door in his face.
Fuck, we get it.
A giggle erupted from my lips.
partly from lust, mostly from giddiness at how vicious he looked, how wild and untamed and already delirious, with a temptation of me, alone. I doubted an inmate had willingly locked himself up before. I opened my mouth to joke, to break the unbearable awareness between us, but Penn marched me backward, his eyes sharp with need, and his face black with lust.
Fuck, El.
His nose skimmed my throat, inhaling me, imprinting me, drowning in me.
What the fuck did you do?
My spine slammed against the wall. His hands grabbed my wrists, pinning them brutally above my head. His body landed on mine. His hips drove forward, and his mouth... God, his mouth sought mine with raunchy speed. He didn't speak again. He didn't question or tease or ease into our physical reunion with soft licks or sweet caresses. He exploded as if he'd ultimately die if he didn't have me that very moment. We kissed until we were breathless, until his voice returned and he mumbled incoherent thanks. Nuzzling my hair, he whispered,
"Christ, El, did you arrange this? Arrange a night to be together? How?"
Kissing my cheek, my chin, my jaw in his race to capture my lips, his groan unraveled the rest of my decorum. I'd come here to seduce him. I'd expected a moment or two of uncertainty before we attacked each other. I hadn't expected him to turn rogue on me. His lips found mine again. He came utterly undone. His groan turned to a grunt, switching to a growl. He hummed, he purred, he sighed in utmost need. His hips rocked forward, robbing me of breath as he pressed into me as hard as he could. His body tried to either consume mine or become one. Regardless, we were still fully clothed. I gasped, giving him access to my mouth, as his hands formed tight cuffs around my wrists, his tongue diving deep, licking mine with impatience to join him in the frenzy. He kissed and thrust as if he had 12 seconds to climb inside me, not 12 hours. There was no reprimand for touching, no bullhorns to separate, no knocks to keep our distance. Just Penn and me, together, alone. It didn't matter we were guests of the state or the bed wasn't ours. All that mattered was our body heat as it exploded into sinful, the sweat slicking our skin in anticipation of joining, and the clenching in our bellies at just how good it would be to finally devour one another after so, so long. Capturing both my wrists with one hand, he dropped his other to my neck. His fingers wrapped around my throat as he angled my head, taking me past the realms of sanity and into chaos with his kisses. It hurt. It broke. It freed. It destroyed. Teeth and tongue in wet and heat. Our heads tilted and fought, our breathing ragged and short. My lips burned from his as if we'd burst into flames. His hand dropped from my throat, reacquainting itself with my breast. He pulled my nipple, rolled my weight, and squeezed the flesh until I cried out for more. His touch moved again, this time dropping down my side to jerk my leg over his hip and angle my core, so his pants clad erection pressed as perfect as ever, driving me crazy. I deliberately worn a floaty daisy print skirt, something he could gather and hoist up, which he did. I'd purposely gone without underwear, so he could reach between my legs and find, which he did. His mouth tore away from mine as his fingers found the slick heat that burned in me for months. Nothing could damper my need for him. No personal late-night ministrations, no celibacy, no tricks. Only he could help me because he was the one who ruined me.
Fucking hell.
Pulling his fingers away, he brought them to his lips and licked. His eyes rolled back and his knees buckled. He stumbled away to slam onto the bed.
Christ, I missed you.
I expected him to command me to join him, to reach out and tug my wrist to strip me of everything and command me to my hands and knees. I didn't care what position he wanted. I just wanted. But he leaned forward with his hands clutching his head, the slickness of my desire still coating his fingers.
As much as I want you. Shit, I can't.
Ice water replaced the fire inside. I brushed my skirt down,
wishing I had scaffolding for my knees to hold up the wreck he'd made of them. What? He shook his head, bending over his legs.
I can't. We're in fucking prison. You came here for me. You're ruining your life for me, just so I can get laid.
Hey! My temper burst. You have it all wrong. Moving to stand in front of him, I snapped. I'm here because I want to be here. I want you to do this. I stroked his hair, running my fingers through the overgrown strands. I need you to do this. He looked up, swatting my hand away with rage.
I'm not going to fuck you in jail, Elle.
His eyes turned tortured as they skimmed over the beads of my nipples, visible in the tight singlet I wore.
Even though I'm dying to be inside you.
I stepped back, searching his face. In all my planning and hounding for this night to happen, I never envisioned him refusing me. God, it hurt. My chest squeezed as if my ribs had become an overzealous corset. My heart slunk away, reprehended with its tail between its legs.